Greetings, every soul. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love, the show for July 2nd, 2011. And I'm very grateful to have on the show today Patty Greer, filmmaker of movies on crop circles and what they mean for humanity. Patty, thank you for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
I'm really intrigued watching your movies the last several days. Anyone has a chance, if they get a go to Patty's website, Patty Greer, www.pattygreer.com. There's quite a selection there, information about the videos. I was watching her first video from several years ago, and that was one of the ones I watched, and I have information on the Cosmic Love website on the Jill Bolton photograms. And I thought we'd give a little orientation on that. That was your first video. And they just get better from there. The other ones I watched, I was just amazed. The information and the way it's what I would consider holistic, approaching it from the perspective of the Mayan calendar, the ET presence, the archetypal symbols, and the different, the Native American perspective on crop circles. And, Patty, I would... love it if you give a little bit of orientation on your experience from the beginning doing these extraordinary movies.
Well, I appreciate your adjectives, and I also really appreciate it that you actually took the time before our show to watch a couple of the movies. The first one he chose was 2012, We're Already In It, and I think that it really gives a positive perspective of ways to look at what we're going through now and how to progress gracefully, which is really the purpose of why I'm public speaking now. It used to be based all around the crop circles and their magic and all that, which I have found absolutely delicious for years. I believe the crop circles are definitely offering messages for humanity that those of us that are looking at, it's pretty easy to dissect for ourselves what they're telling us, but every person looking at, for instance, one crop circle, you put 10 researchers around it that are all pretty advanced thinkers, and you will have at least 5 different interpretations because they're different for everyone. And everyone, when you're fair about it, is correct, because at our different level of vibration or consciousness, we're going to see things differently.
I noticed that they're kind of like, in reading about the different interpretations, they're kind of like Rorschachs or ink blots, and people kind of project into it their own filters on reality.
Yes. Well, you know, for years I had the thought that, of course, some humans are making some of them, but the real crop circles that the ETs are delivering, you know, I've thought for years that they were trying to help humanity evolve and all these things about 2012 and ascension. And then there's days when I think, you know, maybe they're just leaving sticky notes for each other, having nothing to do with us. And this particular summer, I mean, the ETs are just leaving messages for each other in the fields. And they're appearing in so many different countries that it's not really a reality that they're all made by Doug and Dave, you know, these old guys that claim they made all the crop circles. Now we've got the new group of humans, people, that are saying, we're making the crop circles and all of you guys are fools. This particular year, they are, I think, so scared about all the truth getting out to the world that there are real things going on in these fields and that there are ships that are landing in places on Earth. I mean, as we go through disclosure, we're learning so much. And the more that people open up to, the more information is available. And my movies, I don't know how it happened other than I went to England because I was having a health disaster, which we will cover at the end of our conversation here. But it was in my desperation of not being able to find a doctor or a healer anywhere that I went to England to the crop circles and, total whim, laid down, looked up, and said, you know, if there's anything else here, please something help me, because I really just was tired of dealing with the American medical system and hitting brick walls. So that's what took me to the crop circles, was a health issue. And I thought that there was some miracle that would happen there. And sure enough, the miracle that happened there wasn't exactly what I expected. You always have to be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
But when I laid down in a crop circle in 2007, I had the strangest experience by myself. I don't know how long I was there. But when I finished this experience, laying down in a crop circle center, I opened my eyes and I saw for the first time ever plasma. I think they're plasma beings, or maybe it's just another element in the air, because plasma is, we've got solids, liquids, gas, plasma, air, or light. And so it's one of the elements that is there, but rarely do we take our time to focus in and look at what's moving in the sky. Most people are pretty busy looking at what's going on down here. And I had never seen anything like it, but it was as clear to my vision as the mosquitoes that were circling over my nose. So something happened to me in the crop circle that got me to start seeing differently.
Well, one thing for sure is I've been following this crop circle thing for quite a few years, and it's very clear to anyone that's really studied the issue and or watched your videos that many of them just appear very quickly. There's sounds, there's lights, there's orbs, there's it's very well documented that these huge, gigantic, sophisticated geometric and abstract patterns sometimes were created with very quickly, overnight. And not humanly possible, just not humanly possible to do it overnight or within a half hour or, as quickly as they appear. And the other phenomena associated with them, and one thing I thought interesting, one of the phenomena was somehow the military over there in England somehow registers on their radars that there's something going on, and they continue to fly into these things right after they're created. And there's different phenomena associated with them, including, these moving orbs that they will be around the crop circles, and they will chase after them, and the orbs will disappear. That was a very interesting dimension of one of your movies that I watched. But
right. Well,
I was just going to say that it's clear that there may be a lot of disinformation out there. These guys going out and creating them and saying, we're doing the crop circles. But it's pretty self-evident that anyone's really followed the issue that these things are created by a power, a force, or an energy that is beyond, our prevailing awareness.
Right, right. Well, when we see lots of footage of balls of light, very often we see them, like you were saying, being chased by military helicopters.
Uh-huh.
The particular day I was filming Patricia Corey in the crop circle, the beautiful Westwoods Formation in Wiltshire, we were up on a hill, 2:30 in the middle of the afternoon. There was nobody anywhere around except she and I doing the interview and my friend Nick Ashron, whose music is in the movies. And he is a devoted croppie. He's there every summer. And when you get when you're over there and you get information that there is a crop circle at Cully's Farm or at Hatbox Cottage, it really helps to have somebody with you that knows where they're talking about when they say, climb the fence, over the tree, fifth tram line to the left. It really helps having a local. And every year I seem to have Nick help me find these things, because really without a GPS and an airplane, it is hard to find crop circles. And In the last bunch of years, we had so much fun because I'd wake up in the morning at the B&B in England, and I would put myself right at the place where the Silent Circle is. And the Silent Circle is the meeting cafe for all the researchers and croppies that come in from all over the world every summer. This is everybody's secret. If you go to England, find the Silent Circle, because it is where the people meet. And it is so fun. They've got pastries and coffee. But the main thing is, first thing in the morning, you can hear where the new crop circles happened while you slept.
That sounds really, I'd love to experience that. sitting around drinking cups of coffee and finding out what the new crops. That's in your movie, and I saw that. That was really interesting. By the way, we have a caller right now. Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Don.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Christopher Rudy, and it's a very interesting topic that you have on as a guest. The crop circles caught my eye, actually, so thanks so much. My question is that regarding digital cameras, which one's the best to use? And I'm just really, really curious when I saw the picture on the BBS website that you had a camera there, and just wonder why it didn't blow up, because usually sometimes the energies there are so strong it does something to the camera. So do you have to have specialized equipment to be there?
Well, matter of fact, Patty, you can answer this better, I'm sure, but I did see in the movies that the new digital cameras are showing a lot more phenomena with the orbs and other things that the eye isn't catching. And Patty, do you have a comment on that?
Well, I think that the older cameras typically are better for catching orbs, but I think it's also, once again, about people's consciousness. When you are going to get orbs and you have it in your mind, I think a lot of those people are getting orbs a lot. I know that different cameras have been dead and alive for me with orbs, so I appreciate your question. My favorite was the, not that I want to advertise, the Panasonic Lumix was my favorite. I also had a Canon PowerShot, not expensive, that got incredible orbs. So those are the two that do well. The camera that I shot the movies with is a Panasonic P2 HD. And what I'm going to tell you is that I knew nothing about cameras, and still today I don't know a whole lot. But this was not a plan I had. When I went to England, it was to fix my hands. I had a health issue on my hands, and I went to England to heal. I didn't go to make movies. I knew nothing about the crop circles, UFOs. 2012 was not anything I was reading about. I just went there to lay in the crop circles. After that experience with these plasma beings, I made 4 movies in 2 years with no training, no experience, and no previous interest in filmmaking at all. I knew nothing about cameras. To go back to Don's question, I somehow seemed like everything was put in front of me, placed in my hands, and it all happened right after that incident in the crop circle. I also, because I was dealing with my health, I had all my time and energy to devote to making the movie, so I spent probably 15 hours a day for the 2 years, and I hardly came up for air. On my second movie, I learned how to operate a friend's camera. The first movie, I just hired a film crew, and that was the movie that you saw. And it is a really long version. It's like an hour and 40 minutes or so, and it's called The Wake-Up Call. Anybody listening? I had no experience whatsoever, but I could not stop taking crop circle pictures once I started. And after a couple weeks, I had 1,100 photos, and they were amazing. I got photos, one of them, there's a bunch on the website, of course, but there's a photo one evening when I went into a crop circle. These are things I would never do. Go alone into a crop circle at night, and I have a picture that I shot, and I don't know how, but there is a blue, green, luminous thing that absolutely looks like a spaceship. I didn't see it with my eyes, but the camera picked it up, and this was a Panasonic movie.
So now, the later cameras you were using, though, were they film cameras or digital movie cameras?
Well, I do still shots, and I also have my big Panasonic P2, which is huge for me to carry for hours at a time, hiking up and down the hills into the crop circles. It was a beast to haul around, but flying around in the little airplanes with no doors on and they're tipping, I wasn't thinking about the weight of the camera or the camera falling with me out of the little airplane. These movies happened so quickly, and the most amazing people I've ever met in my life just walked up to me every time I had my camera. I guess they want to talk about it. People that know what's going on want to talk about it. And the amazing thing was that I went to the Glastonbury Symposium to learn more about crop circles after being in them for weeks. I stayed 9 weeks for 2 summers in a row, which is an awful lot of crop circles to go in.
Yeah.
And night watch, going out with people I didn't know, sitting on the hills watching for balls of light. Some people had their cameras set up. I did not have night vision goggles. I didn't have a camera with me the first year at all. But when I went to the Glastonbury Symposium, I saw the most amazing speakers and invited them. Half of them I knew from being in the crop circles every day. But I invited my favorite speakers to meet us in the crop circles. I hired a film crew, and everybody came. So the first movie is this long version of talking to the really passionate people that are there year after year. Muddy boots, dirty knees, it's raining, they still go in the crop circles with me. Then there's the elitist group that fly around in the helicopters, and they make beautiful calendars and postcards, and they make money. So
yeah.
There's a couple different schools of thought going on over the years I've been there. But this year, I just got back a week ago, this year is different. I've never seen anything quite like it. And I think it's because we're approaching the transition, the ascension of humanity, or whatever it is. I think that the people that are really trying to keep the wonderful, graceful, marvelous things about our planet a secret, they're losing grip. They're falling apart, and I think that right now they're making an extra effort to even debunk the crop circles to the point where it's getting kind of exhausting.
Well, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. You just got back from, I was looking at the crop circles, Patty, on the internet, on cropcircleconnector.com, and the really interesting patterns, a lot of planet stuff. So what are the people saying there regarding the crop circles right now, because we're going through like a lot of planetary shifts and lots of planets coming into our system and everything else? Just wonder what they're saying and what are you feeling there. So thanks so much for letting me be on your air, and I'll just take it off the air. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's a good question. Patty, what was your read after being there numerous years? This year, it seems like we're coming to some kind of a grand finale. And I know that you have been a conduit of sorts for this energy of, you might say, spontaneous combustion of etheric fire.
Yeah, I like that.
And what was your read this year, though?
Well, this year, I got there early. I thought it would be fun to see the crop circles that grow in canola fields, which are really hollow, 1-inch wide, long stalks that are so brittle that they would absolutely break if humans bent them.
Uh-huh.
And I've never seen them because I always come for the major part of the crop circle season, June and July, leaving in August, and the farmers bring them down. But this year we went early June, and it was a little too early. So there were only 5 crop circles that had arrived when I got there, and my boyfriend and I went to see 3 in one day. And visually, they weren't marvelous, but physically, we walked into 2 of the 3 and completely felt the, what is the word? It's like you can feel your body vibrate. And it
really
was so apparent. And my boyfriend is such a realist that he's not going to go silly on me, but we were walking in the formation. I was in front, he was in the middle, and my friend Monique in the back from Holland, great researcher also, and right when we stepped into what I would call the vortex, which is 30, 40 feet outside the formation, as you're walking toward it, I just started glistening. I could feel it, but I didn't say a word, and within half a second, he said, "I feel it." And I turned around, and he had goosebumps head to toe, the hair was standing up on his arm, and of course, I'm totally goosebumped and giggly. And I said, "Wow, that's good." And Monique said, "I feel it too." And I said, "Okay, let's the 3 of us step backward until we're out of it." So all 3 of us in the single tram line backed up, and you could feel it change. And it's like, "Wow, not here." And I said, "Now walk back in." And immediately all 3 of us could feel the transition of energy, the higher vibration, the more intense frequency, the higher electromagnetic field. I don't know what it is, but I know we feel it.
There's some kind of resonance or coherence or some frequency that's actually anchored in the fields, apparently.
And slightly outside it where you can feel it. I use a pendulum. I see people with magnetometers, with dowsing rods, all kinds of little gadgetry and tools that give them their own power to say, I know what I'm doing here, and whoa, look at the answers. Now, a lot of people go into crop circles, and they immediately bend down and look at the edges, and they dig, you know, to the lower levels to see if they're made by humans, they'll be mostly broken where they bend at a 90-degree angle. If they're not made by humans, they have a very bizarre consistency, which is a bubble in the stem. We called it a bent node. But it's like the wheat got hit so intensely with heat that all of them, millions of them or hundreds of thousands at the same time, grew a bubble and bent over in the perfect divine order that they were set up to do this.
So it somehow, ruptures the cells, and at the same time, it'll bend them in different directions.
Correct. The exact plan. Now,
humans
can't do that.
No.
But whoever's making the crop circles, these balls of light, can. So typically the men I go into the crop circles with, I'm the hippie girl who just goes straight to the center, lays down, close my eyes, and I'm gone. But the men that I go in with, they're always right to the sides, digging to see if they're bent, broken, exploded or not, how many bends there are, how many bent nodes. And many of these crop circle hit wheat or barley or corn stems have numerous bubbles going up the stalk of the grain. But it's really a difference that you can physically see, and many of us can energetically feel the crop circles. And again, needless to say, a lot of people never feel anything. Some of the guys I've gone in with year after year, they feel nothing. They just love the mathematics or the artistic nature. And
left
Don
brain.
Asked a question that we didn't answer, which was about the parallels to the constellations. And so many of the crop circles, so many of them show us different constellations that they believe are coming our way, where Pluto is moved out of its orbit or different things are changed up. But again, everybody has a different interpretation of what they're looking at. And the crop circle connector, I used to love, 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 but things are changing there. I think they're still good, but I would highly recommend people go to the silentcircle.uk website. I think that it's laid out in a way where you can see year after year all of them in a row. It's a lot easier to see the pictures. And let's talk about the crop circles with the most intense messages over the years.
Yes, right. That's, I'm interested in that. The movie that I watched, your movie, 2012, were already in it. There was one individual that spoke specifically about his interpretation, his understanding with different crop circles, referencing, as again, as he understood it, of the imminent Earth changes. And, of course, I've seen several different crop circle patterns that have been clear, you know, decoded to reference what's going on in through 2012. There was the one, I think it was the Avebury crop circle back in 2008. And, of course, there's always the multiple interpretations of these, you know, the same patterns. But the one individual is talking about, you know, that this self-evident truth that there's going to be consciousness changes and Earth changes, and all of this is to prepare us or to otherwise wake us up, that there is a higher power or yet a different way of saying it. But I'm really intrigued by the alien connection. Of course, we know that there's been a lot of phenomena with different things with UFO appearances, materializing and disappearing, as with orbs, related to the crop circles. And specifically, I'm really intrigued with this, the drama of this, what was going on with, it's called the Chilbolton photograms. I have an excerpt, actually, from your movie, the first movie you did, and I thought I would play that on the website, the Cosmic Love website for this show. There are some pictograms from Chilbolton, and there's also the alien face with a digitally coded message that is very intriguing to me. And the fact that there could be a message in a crop circle that was digitally coded. And so I thought I'd play that back over the over the phone, and see how that comes through. But the information about that time with the Chilbotin appearances near a radio telescope is really, to me, this is like an extraordinary communication. And there was a two-way process, as I'll explain in this excerpt. So I'll play this back now, and we'll take it from there.
Great.
Two crop formations appeared near the Chilbolton Radio Telescope in Hampshire, England. Both were very precise and had a number of small pixels, one clearly offering a binary code pattern. A binary code is made up of zeros and ones and can be read by translating lines and spaces into decimals, which then correspond to letters. They are easily understood by computers and experts in the field. One of the formations looks like an eerie human face. The other is one of the most controversial crop circles ever because it closely resembles a transmission that was sent into deep space in 1974. The transmission was federally funded by a government agency called SETI, or Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The content of the message was designed by Carl Sagan and Frank Drake. It provided basic information about human life on Earth, such as which planet we live on, what we generally look like, how tall we are, our population, the kind of telescope we use, the chemical building blocks of our genetics, and the spiral structure of our DNA. It was broadcast with 1 trillion watts from the world's largest radio telescope, called the Arecibo Tower in Puerto Rico. The message was beamed into space toward a star cluster called M13, which is 23,000 light years away and consisted of 300,000 stars. The Chilbolton formation made cross-circle history when it seemed to be a direct response to the message sent in 1974, but it returned with some distinct changes in the binary pattern. Their response seemed to show smaller bodies with larger heads. It showed a different alignment of the planets. Their response also differed by mentioning the crystalline structure of silicon. This could be one of the most significant indicators of two-way ET contact yet. The following year, England received another amazing double formation in the field, the alien face and the disk. It was similar to Chilbolton having a binary code formation and a face, plus, they were both located near radio broadcasting masts. Anybody listening? The circular grid contained a binary data sequence. It was read by experts and deciphered as this. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe. There is good out there. Opposed deception. Conduit closing.
Did you hear that okay? Hello?
I heard it okay. I hope it was clear for the audience.
Oh, good. Well, yeah, that that kind of grabbed me, thinking about this actually happened, but never made it to the mainstream media. And that's the whole... Pardon?
Yeah, it didn't make it to the mainstream media. We heard about all of these formations, these amazing ones. No, they went across the world, but they were immediately debunked, and misinformation was strewn, and the public lost interest. And it was only because of the disinformation. These two formations, both of them near radio transmitting towers, like you said, were astounding. Both of them, 8 miles apart, 1 year apart, both of them had an ET face and another message. And they were so stunning, each of them. I hope the audience could hear clearly with the music going in the movie. But this message in the binary code, which was deciphered by Paul Begay, and it was in a language they called ASCII. And it was decoded with some words in small letters and some words all caps, which I found very interesting. And some words only had partial capital letters. So let me read the message once more, and then I'm going to read just the all cap words, which I found pretty interesting. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing. And then there's the sound of a bell. The words that are all caps or partial caps are these. False, broken promises, pain, good, op, deception, closing. To me, I think they were giving us a warning about what was coming and to open our eyes. But what I like is that they say, believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. I believe that what I've read in the last bunch of years about these military sites that we have armed, cocked and locked and ready to rock, when they have gone slightly inappropriate, they've been shut down. When they've been shut down, there's been ETs spotted. One of them happened in the last week, or within the last month, I should say, to be safe. And the ETs were, the ships were spotted when these military things were shut down.
Huh.
And you can search it on the Internet. There is a lot of this going on where I believe we are being protected. And you were asking about the crop circles this year. The difference, again, thank God I walked in three of them because they didn't look amazing. Because I was early in the season, the wheat had already kind of popped back up, and so they weren't laying flat with beautiful, meticulous walls. In my years past, all the crop circles I filmed for the movies, oh, my God, they're just beautiful and
amazing, perfect.
Oh, yeah. But this year, they were not so amazing to look at, but I could feel, and so could Mike and Monique, the feeling. Outside the formation, within the formation, and we could feel it go away. One thing interesting about the cameras is that many people had their cameras and cell phone die inside crop circles.
Mm.
I have not had that happen. My cameras have behaved beautifully, other than my little digitals have all come away with a bizarre chirp. And when I say bizarre chirp, I feel like something got inside my camera because one of my cameras that I gave to a friend, it goes every time I turn it on, and it kind of purrs or makes this bizarre sound. And the one I took this year, which is a different camera, it came back with a bizarre chirp. So odd things do happen to mechanical
ears. Sounds like you got a little elemental in there.
Isn't that funny? But let's
get
back to this message, because this message, I believe, has a lot to do with what's going on today. And before I go into that, I want to mention one more incredible crop circle, which is the only one in history that we know of where they actually filmed balls of light making a crop circle. And this is the famous 1996 footage on, where was it, Oliver's Castle in England. And this guy, John Whaley, awoke at 5 a.m. with his camera like all of us at night watch. You know, you try and stay awake. But many people that have had experiences with balls of light have described this feeling, this rustle in the wheat before it gets there. And this feeling comes over them like they're in a bubble where everything outside goes silent. And John Whaley was awakened at 5 in the morning, and he heard the rustle. And he's one of the only people in history that pushed the record button on his camera, and he filmed two balls of light creating a crop circle.
Wow.
Now, this footage is known across the world. Anybody can see it on my website, or you can Google Oliver's Castle Crop Circle, England, and you'll see this amazing footage. So when I first got there, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything really about crop circles, but I met all the amazing researchers, and we got to be friends. So I asked Janet Osebard and Bert Janssen, who had this amazing footage in their movie, and I said, can I have permission? I paid them to use their photos for this odd project that I was coming up with to create a documentary. And so I asked for permission to use their footage. So So I get it home. I've got the John Whaley footage in their clip. And I said to my editor, who's 26 or 8 years old, and I had never done anything in movie making. We got to that footage, and because I didn't know anything about filmmaking, I stuck it at the end of an hour and a half long movie. You have to wait for the whole thing for the big punchline.
Yeah.
What I've learned in 4 movies, now my brand new movie called Crop Circles 2010 Update, The Wake Up Call, boom, that footage is right in the beginning. Now I know what to do, and I also have the intention of stop, don't make people wonder, show them how it's really going on right off the bat, and then let them enjoy the movie. You know, I mean, for me, it was the punchline was at the end, but what I did was I took this footage that I knew very little about, but I just couldn't stop watching it. These balls of light come in, swirl over the field, and the field goes down. 6 circles around a center or 5 circles around a center, and it is perfect. And it happens before your eyes in a matter of seconds on film. So I'm playing with it, and I said to my young editor, who I hardly knew, run it backwards for me. He said, why? I said, I don't know. I'm having one of my intuitive hits. So he turned it backwards, and we're looking at it, and I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. He looked at me, and he said, why would you guess that? Say that. And I said, I don't know, intuitive hit. So he slows it down 30%, reverses the footage. We're looking at it, and right there, boom, lock. Lock the footage. I found a line of communication between the two balls of light right before they laid the field down. And
really?
It's visible. It's black, white, black, white, 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 black, white, black. It's, I don't know if it's binary, ASCII. I don't know what it is, but you can see it. And it goes right from one ball of light to the other on film right before the field goes down. Now, millions of people have looked at that footage, and people far more educated on this subject than me. This is how I know that they've made the movies through me. Plus all the people walking up at the right time that I didn't know saying, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Giving me these interviews. I mean, 4 movies.
Your first movie in that regard, your first movie, where you, you know, where you're just getting into this, you had to feel, I had the feeling watching it that you're definitely some kind of conduit, because the way that people express themselves, and they were, you were very open to them expressing themselves, and they really did in a way that was just it was very striking to me. And now you're saying that you had an intuitive a hit in terms that it sounds like a visual form of reverse speech.
Yeah. There are other incidents where crop circles happened in a matter of seconds and that many people saw. I think the greatest one that, of course, was in the news until they debunked it, was the one that happened at Stonehenge. And it was the perfect Fibonacci sequence. Now, the pilots that documented this were, the pilot flew over Stonehenge with a scientist, and they were studying Stonehenge, and then they went a little bit further out on his chart, on his map, and the scientists went and they explored somewhere else, and within 15 to 20 minutes, they turned the plane around and came back in the same direction and saw a brand new crop circle at Stonehenge in the middle of the day. Now, this was in the course of less than 15, 20 minutes, broad daylight, hundreds of people, if not thousands, across the highway at Stonehenge. How did nobody see it happen?
Wow.
Well, these balls of light are quick. They are immediate. They are intentional. And I believe, without a doubt, that some of the crop circles have been made by them. Like you're saying, the absolutely ornate ones. People should definitely go peek at my website. Again, www.pattygreer.com. For free, you can sit there for half an hour, and enjoy the galleries of crop circles from every year, because I've been there shooting like a crazy person. I just can't stop taking pictures. It's so amazing over there.
One of the pictures where you actually have a, I think it was in your the first movie, there's the second movie, a 2012 movie. It's already here. There was a picture you have of an orb that's got a geometric pattern in it that's almost like a crop circle. That blew me away.
Yes. And there was also a crop circle that had an orb that had a face in it. Did you notice that one? I told the story about
orb.
The Santee cows.
Wow, I didn't see that one, no.
Cows. Oh. I tell the story somewhere in that movie about this 1890s house that I bought, and I could definitely smell cigarette smoke, and it was very distracting. I had to do a few different ceremonies because I could tell there was an energy in the house. And at the time, this was before I was making these movies or learning about orbs, I took all these photos of this 1890s house before we renovated and after. And it wasn't until after that I went and searched the library newspapers and learned that a woman had died in the house, come down the stairs, smoking, drinking on Valentine's Day. It was so sad, but I had already seen the whole picture of what had happened intuitively in the house. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so bizarre. And I started looking at some of the pictures of renovation, and when the walls were torn open, there were so many orbs that looked like a bubble bath.
Really?
And there was one particular one that hung out by a particular fireplace, and it has a face. And every photo I took, this orb is somewhere else in the antique house, and it has a face.
Whoa.
And again, so many of us have tons of this in our lives, but we just don't know enough to be looking and recognize it. And I bet if all of us went and looked at our photo albums, we would find amazing things. But I want to get quickly into, because I know we only have 15, 20 minutes left, the information that I really feel a need to impart to everybody listening. I have learned so many hard lessons in the last few years. Making movies, oh my God, so much fun. But the distributors, oh my God, what a lesson. Oops, lost a lot of money. I came into this business not knowing anything about any of it, and oops, spent a lot of money. And I'm not complaining about that, but I met the bottom of the barrel. And these were like the most reputable people dealing with all the spiritual stores. I can't believe what's going on. But as I got more and more into the people that I interview and having comments and listening to them talking about the world over in Europe, I realized how behind the eight ball we are in America. We're just way behind. So what I'm realizing, because again, I just went over there where they have fabulous train systems and the ferry picks you up at the end of the train and, you know, they've got it down. They've got medical covered. Here I am in a country where I have tremendous freedom. It is so marvelous here. But we have been the victims of, we have been the bearers of false gifts and broken promises. And yeah. I want to talk about two that I have personally experienced. And the only reason I'm going public, not naming names, is because I fully understand what's going on in the system. And I want people to avoid going through the lessons that I just did.
Oh, great.
So,
yeah.
The first one I want to talk about is the stock market and public investment firms. I have been invested with the stock market and, you know, all these highly rated AAA, and a firm that's been famous forever. And I had the same broker for 27 years. And in 2008, I got wind of what was about to happen. And for 27 years, every time I called my broker, I'd say, I need a check for this, and the next day I'd go pick it up. No problem, easy. On October 1st, 2008, which we know was the huge financial disaster in America, I called and I said, sell everything now. And the next day it wasn't sold, and I called again at 8:30 a.m., and I said, sell everything. For 16 days I called, and he didn't follow my orders. I lost so much of my portfolio. And I have my phone records proving all the days I called in a row, 16, and what time I called and how long the call was. They never paid me. They kept the money. And at the end of 16 days, they kept a lot of money.
Yeah.
And at the end of 16 days, I lost 16 days worth of my portfolio in one of the worst economic crumbles in America.
Yeah.
And why did it happen? Well, I mean, I think we all know pretty much that it was an inside job. So
yeah.
Here I am. I'm a nice person, but I'm calling the broker firm, and now I'm starting to put out complaints. Where can you complain when you feel that you have been mishandled? Well, you can complain to the Better Business Bureau, you can complain to FINRA, and you can complain to the SEC. So I filed complaints with all three, and all three came back to me and said, we're not going to take this. We can't accept your complaint. I was like, what? And none of them would take my complaint. And it was valid. I had everything, proof, phone records. What I learned from one of them, and I don't want to name names, was that I needed to have recorded the conversation when I asked to sell everything. So I'm going to give everybody publicly a list of things that I want to make sure that if any of you were in the same predicament I was, that you realize it now. And the way you're going to realize it is to go and look at your contract. What I think is about to happen the next time they pull the rug and everything crumbles and we all fall down, I think that they're not going to give anybody their money back. What
No.
happened to me, I think, was a test run for what's coming soon. And what I've learned since then, because now I'm in a lawsuit and I'm in final arbitration, I am at the end of it, and I am astounded at what I have watched. This big bank has hired lawyers to write 6 different letters to me. One of them was 65 pages, and it said the same thing on every page. Basically, the reason they chose to keep my money, and they can, was because I signed a contract. And in that contract, somewhere, it said, we will follow your orders unless one of these three things happens. So everybody needs to see if this is in your contract. My money was kept due to, A, absent unusual circumstances. Absent unusual circumstances. Okay, that's their first reason. Number two, the word generally was used in the contract. And number three, due to market conditions at that time. Well, absent unusual circumstances, I'm sorry, somebody's aunt has a broken toe. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Number two, the word generally, please. But the third one I think is the most relevant, due to market conditions at that time. The next time the market collapses or they pull the rug, due to market conditions at that time, they can keep your money if this is written in your contract. And at the end of every contract, you have an option, most contracts, to only arbitrate with one organization, who I will not name. But at the end of your contract, if you are forced to only arbitrate, if you have any legal problem with one organization, you need to take a look at that organization and the name of your bank and the word fraud and go search on the Internet and see how many pages you find. I had so many pages on my bank and the arbitration company that I have to be committed to, which most of us are. And what I learned by watching the movie, The Inside Job, is that they share money. They are one and the same.
Yeah, well,
and that's
you know,
the problem here.
The way it works, you know, with all the legalese, when the big boys want to get you there, they can get you. And just think, if you had put, I remember back at that time talking to several different people saying, get your money out of stocks and put it in gold. It's going to skyrocket. I remember distinctly, and I've talked to some of these people since then. And of course, you know, if getting the money out is a problem when you know under the circumstances, because when the insiders, you know, when they're shorting the market or they're otherwise, you know. Taking other people's money for themselves, what can you do? And I really believe that you know this is just like you say, a prelude to what's going to happen on a scale that we just can't conceive. And that's the message I've been getting from multiple sources, you know, for several years now. And there's a lot of information that I get that I can't publish in my regular email newsletter as a general rule, although I hint to it, just because people just, in one sense, don't want to hear it, and for that reason just can't hear it. You know what I mean? And
I think that it's really not about creating fear at all. And it used to really make me angry when I would talk about this or mercury poisoning, my stomach, my heart, I could feel it. Now, I have a smile on my face because I'm on the other side. I get it. I see what they're doing. They got me. And when I just got my first offer from this other side, the banksters that got me and kept my money, I got an offer of 1/9, I think, the amount. And what my lawyer told me is that there's no money in anything you went through. There's only, but, you know, what happened was in my six letters, I heard so many excuses that had nothing to do with reality. I saw time twisted. I finally learned that in the last letter, their lawyer claimed that I had placed my order on October 16th, and they followed orders appropriately. That was the last letter. Now, as I look at my phone records, October 15th and 16th had no phone call. So what I learned, because they own the arbitrators, is that none of my complaints and nothing will hold up in court because I didn't record the conversation. So all I'm going to say to all of you that have invested, number one, when you decide to pull out, record the conversation and say the date, say the name of you and your broker, and say sell everything now. Have it recorded so that it will hold up in court. Number two, check your contract and see if you are committed to only one arbitration group at the end of your contract. If so, do the research because you will lose. I probably will lose or have to settle for hardly anything. And I'm okay with it now. I've gone 2 years realizing that this is the way it's going. The hardest thing that I've learned, and it's from this movie that anybody can rent on Netflix or watch it now. This movie, Inside Job, makes some claims. Did you see this movie yet?
I've heard about it. I've got it on my Netflix list.
Well, sadly, everybody needs to see it. It was the most appalling education I have had yet. In the movie, Inside Job, they claim that the very men who destroyed our economy in 2008 kept all the money that they from their organizations and were never criminally prosecuted. Number one, they took down some of the largest financial institutions in America, and they received millions of dollars in severance pay. They were bailed out by the taxpayers in 2008, and the money was taken by them in bonuses. The top executives, and they are laughing at us today, they had written into the bailouts, that they didn't ever have to speak about where the money went. And we signed it, so they don't even have to tell us where the money went. But the most alarming thing was that the movie Inside Job claimed, and it showed pictures of every face, and it showed them asking these major banksters, how do you feel about what you've done to all these people? And none of them had a heart at all. It was pretty
funny. They were like soulless, but, yeah, robots. Yep.
Yeah, it
well,
was
you know,
that, but the hardest thing for me to deal with is that those people that have worked harder than ever fighting regulation, most of them are today are Obama's chief executive advisors. They are running our country today. These people that destroyed our economy and never got punished are running our country today.
Well, a dimension of this is the major insider banks, like Goldman Sachs, that was tied directly, like interlocking relationships with the Federal Reserve Bank. They had this software for high-frequency trading that would strip equity out of the markets on the way up and on the way down. And so they, with these high-frequency trades, they were just stripping equity out of them, you know, money's out of the market. And with that software, and then some other insider companies got this software. We saw when something Spiegel Act, when that this happened after Clinton Bush, but when they changed the laws regarding it used to be they could only make money on the way up, and then they changed it, you know, they deregulated it, the insiders did, you know, their own lobbyists, so that they could make money on the way down. So then what they did, they just jerry-rigged the market, creating bubbles and stripping equity out on the way up and on the way down. And so it's just like...
They were also paying the ratings agencies, Moody's, S&P, and Fitch, to give them high ratings. And coincidentally, these three rating agencies quadrupled their profits in 2008. And, you know, how did Goldman Sachs have a double or triple A rating the day before they went bankrupt?
Isn't that interesting? Well, it's called a rigged system, and the banksters are doing the rigging. Anyway, we're going to have to wrap it up here in a few minutes. I would like to talk a little bit about the mercury fillings. Actually, I'd like to go into fluoride, too, but Could you reference that just for a few minutes?
I'd be happy to. Sadly, what took me to England was that my hands that used to play harp, when you hear my movies and the music soundtracks, that's me playing music. Coincidentally, all those songs, how did they get written in 2001 by me and all of a sudden be perfect lyrics for these films? I think everything is in such divine order. But I had a problem all of a sudden in 2005 where my fingertips that plucked harp strings many hours a day all of a sudden developed cuts, and the skin started dying, and it has gone 7 years where the skin
wow.
on my hands and the fingertips has turned brown, died, and breaks open, and I have, everybody that's met me meets me in latex-free vinyl gloves, band-aids, black gloves over them. I mean, I have had to live in gloves for 7 years. I had to sell my harps, sell my pianos, sell my PA. I sold all my music gear, and I don't even miss my career. What I miss is using my hands. I've
yeah.
been to every kind of doctor, 3 dermatologists, every kind of healer except voodoo, and nobody could fix my hands. Everybody kept saying to me, there's something inside you that is coming out through your hands because you use them so much. I kept going to my doctor and allergy clinics getting checked for mercury poisoning because I had gone to a dentist who I had asked to put in composites. He got me high on nitrous. I woke up and I had all this mercury in my mouth. And I could not believe it happened. But at the time, 2004, I was furious, but what could I do? It was in my mouth. So I.
Oh my gosh! You mean you went unconscious, and he instead of the amalgam, instead of the composite, he put in amalgam.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness!
It's a long story.
Yeah.
I won't elaborate because we're running out of time. But yes, and right at the top of my dental chart, it says patient requests composites. Okay, so I have been tested for mercury so many times at my doctor's office and the allergy clinics. Negative, negative, go home, go back to sleep. So finally, 6 months ago, I'm in love. I live in the most gorgeous place, and I want my hands. I really am tired of these gloves and Band-Aids, needless to say, for so many reasons. But I took it upon myself, and I said, I don't care what the tests are saying. I'm going to get these fillings out of my face because nothing is working. I think I'm being poisoned. So I went on the internet and searched mercury removal. I want everybody to be
Patty,
very,
we're gonna
very
have,
clear.
We're going to have to wrap it up real quick here.
Okay. Anyway, I went and got tested for mercury in a whole different way, which is called inorganic mercury, because I got a conscious dentist who knew what she was doing with mercury poisoning, and she said, you've been tested with the wrong test by all the medical organizations in our country, and I finally had the correct test. I am in the top 95 percentile of worst cases, and
oh
here
gosh.
I have been told on 8 tests that I would find no mercury, when meanwhile I was filled with it. So now I'm detoxing, got the mercury out, but the cover-up is as good as the UFO cover-up. What I have learned is astounding, but what I want to tell everybody is get the right test at Quicksilver Scientific. We'll test blood, hair, urine, and fingernails, and you will know if you are sick and you can't get healed by anything. Get yourself tested the proper way. Quicksilver Scientific is the only one I know of in America.
Okay, Patty, we're gonna have to do a wrap. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today,
yes.
And we've got to do this again. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you in a couple weeks. Thanks, Patty. Bye-bye.